You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Wednesday to all of you out there just anxiously awaiting not only Michigan football, but college football, which will be really truly in full swing come tomorrow, Thursday, when we start seeing more games of consequence take place. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And as promised yesterday, we do have a special guest. We're starting off the official partnership as far as just having regular guests, this regular mashup, however you want to call it, of Pro Football Focus and Locked On Wolverines. Today we have Trevor Sikkema. We're very excited to have him on for the first time. Trevor, thank you for joining to talk a little bit about this upcoming football season.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, Isaiah. Like you said, it's an exciting time. We're about to get into, I feel like saying real college football is kind of mean to all the teams that played in week zero, because it's not like they're not real teams, but
I don't,
week zero,
I don't know that Nebraska is a real team.
So,
yeah, I don't.
He's, the Scott Frost era might actually prove you right in that regard. So I'm very excited for college football. Very excited to be on this podcast, man. Talk about a little bit of Michigan Wolverines here with you.
Well, with that in mind, and I just want to know kind of your overview. We've talked to Trish about what he thinks. Obviously, you are a completely independent person of him. At least I hope that's the case. But what when you look at this Michigan team, what do you see? I don't want to lead you with any more than that. What is your evaluation of what Michigan is going into 2021?
Yeah, Anthony's actually feeding me lines here at the office. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. Michigan football is a very interesting story, and I'm sure that all Michigan fans who listen to me just say those words probably rolled their eyes very hard. But, you know, when you think about where Michigan currently is, this is a powerhouse college football program, historically speaking, right? And it's one of the most notable college football programs in the country. They had plenty of success under Lloyd Carr, did not have a lot of success under Rich Rodriguez and Brady Hoke, and then they bring in Jim Harbaugh. And, you know, they think that this is their next Lloyd Carr, basically, right? I mean, like, they thought that this was their next era, and I think that they have treated it as such. And, you know, when you look at the records, I was actually surprised just doing some additional research for going on this show. You see that Jim Harbaugh's records, 10-3, 10-3, 8-5, 10-3, 9-4. Okay, last season, obviously 2-4, but last season was extremely irregular. But you look at those records and you think to yourself, like, okay, like, that's actually not too terrible. But if you were to ask somebody outside of seeing those records what they thought of Michigan football, they'd be like, trash, irrelevant. It just does not matter, basically. And I hate to say that about the Michigan football program, but that feels like where we are under Jim Harbaugh. And why? It's because it can't beat Ohio State and it can't win a bowl game, right? They have not won a bowl game since 2015. And Ohio State just continues to be that hurdle in front of them. And I know Michigan fans have heard this and it's a broken record, but it is, man. If you asked me purely what the best rivalry in sports is, I would tell you, as someone who does not have a dog in either fight, never have.
You're going to say Nebraska-Illinois again, aren't you?
It's Scott Frost versus his own offense. No, I'm kidding. It's Ohio State and Michigan. Like, that's what it is supposed to be, and it just does not feel like Michigan is anywhere near punching at that level. And so that's kind of where I think a lot of just general outside college football fandom America sees the Michigan Wolverines. And I know that they've made a lot of changes going into the season. They've completely revamped the coaching staff there. I believe it was, 9 out of 10 assistants that are totally new there at Michigan. They have a totally different recruiting mindset, plan that they have in place. And you hope things are a little bit different, because I do like the idea, the story, the everything about Jim Harbaugh being the head coach at Michigan. But it only works if it works, if you will. It only works if every year we go into that last game of the regular season thinking Michigan, Ohio State, baby, let's go. And we're not there anymore. Not only is Michigan not competing in the games that they need to be, they're underselling their end of a rivalry that should be one of the best in sports. And every year we get to Michigan, Ohio State. And you know what? People watch it. But nobody expects Michigan to win. Nobody expects them to even compete. And that's where Michigan is in my mind. And I think that, like I said, they've got a different mindset, a different direction. It's a lot of new coming into the program this year, and you hope that's better. But I'll tell you right now, even if you might be excited for them finally making some changes and some changes that might put them in the right direction, it's not going to happen this year. It's not like they're all of a sudden just going to be an absolute powerhouse. You hope that's probably coming in year two and year three. And so then you're getting into what, you know, year 7, 8, 9 of Jim Harbaugh. Is that going to be enough to keep him around, especially with him restructuring his contract? I know it's an extension, but it also makes it easier to buy him out. All of these things kind of swirl in my head when I think about the Michigan Wolverines. It should be part of what is one of the greatest rivalries in sports, but they're not holding up their end of the bargain. And until they do, they're always going to be seen as a disappointment to everybody on the outside looking in.
We will continue with more from Trevor here momentarily, but before we do, got to tell you a little something about betonline.ag. Y'all know the football season's here, right? It's happening. It's that time of year again. Got big time college football in about, a little more than 24 hours, but still. As always, betonline.ag is your number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, contests, including the $500,000 NFL Mega Contest and the $200,000 NFL Survivor Contest open now at BetOnline. Head over to betonline.ag, sign up today, use the promo code LOCKEDON, receive that 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo equals make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, right to horse racing. Don't wait. Take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We continue the conversation with Trevor Sikkema from Pro Football Focus, picking up right where we left off right now.
Yeah, you know what? I think Michigan is somewhat unfairly judged by Ohio State in the sense of, and we talk about it on the show all the time, Ohio State hasn't really taken any time off. Not only have they not taken any time off, I said 50 years, you know, but just like maybe like one or two bad seasons here and there, but otherwise just dominance. And then 11 Warriors, Ramzi Nasrallah had posted it. It's been 100 years. Ohio State is basically the only program that has been consistently amazing for 100 years. I think the bigger indictment for Michigan is that it hasn't held up. It hasn't separated itself. Not only, I shouldn't even say separate itself, it hasn't even shown that it is in the same league on a consistent basis. It's aside from last year, it's an every other year situation when it comes to Penn State and Wisconsin. And I think that that's a difference, right? Because the Lloyd Carr era, you expected Michigan to beat both of those teams.
Sure.
As well. When you look at the talent on this team, or you know, if you've gotten a chance to kind of delve into the numbers, I would say outside of Aiden Hutchinson, because I mean, I think we all are very, you know, aware that Aiden Hutchinson is going to be a beast. Who do you look at? Like when you are taking a look at, like, all right, this is what our evaluations, what it's saying is, okay, these guys have a real chance. In your mind, who are those guys for Michigan?
Well, you know, I'm sure that Trish said this, but, you know, when you look at PFF's initial college football top 100 that we released, there were only two players. There were only two Michigan Wolverines on the list. Aiden Hutchinson was one of them. He came in at number 29. And then Daxon Hill, the free safety, came in at, I believe, 83 or 84. But, you know, Daxon Hill and Brad Hawkins, I think, are two really strong safeties. I mean, like, they're a great safety duo that are going to be one of the best in the Big Ten. There's no doubt about it. But I think a lot of the storylines for me revolves around, and I'm not sure this is I'm not necessarily caping for this player. This is more of just an intrigue at this point, because it's going to be a lot more intrigue than it is, I'm for sure saying that this guy's going to be good. But of course, it's quarterback Cade McNamara. And him with Josh Gattis, this is year three, I believe, of Gattis. Really, you know, he's been around the program for a long time. And, you know, when you look at Gattis, you know, he comes over from Alabama. He gets to see what it's like to work with a lot of talent that's at Alabama when he was the co-offense coordinator there. He's a pass game coordinator for Penn State. Michigan fans know that. He came in and he kind of wanted to introduce a lot of speed, right? And introduce a lot of speed, make things spread out, make things not so pro style with Michigan, not even pro style, less archaic, right? Where they were more on the forefront of where scoring a lot of points, scoring them fast, that kind of college football. And you thought that that was going to be a really great marriage for them. And it has not exactly turned out to be that way. But, you know, even the best coaches would tell you, I need players. I need good players. And when you look at the quarterbacks Josh Gattis had to deal with, Joe Milton and Shea Patterson, not great, right? I mean, like, when you don't have a quarterback that can get it done, it almost doesn't matter. They've had guys like Nico Collins, Tariq Blagg, you know, like, they've had these talented players, some of these explosive players through the program over the last couple of years. But if you can't get these guys the ball, if you can't consistently run your offense the way you want to, it's not going to matter, right? And so that's the position that, I hate to be cliche about it, but everything is just going to fall on the quarterback and how McNamara does with Gattis. Because if it fails again, hey, Gattis has had 3 years now in Michigan. Is he going to be out the door next year? And then all of a sudden, is it, okay, new offensive coordinator, going to buy us some extra time, different quarterback coming in there. Oh, if it's McNamara again, then yeah, different offensive coordinator change. A lot rides on this year and just how, I won't even say like explosive. You don't even need McNamara to look like a Heisman candidate. You just need this offense to look competent and going in the right direction, finding an identity. And that's where it's all going to begin for Michigan, because I can say all I want about some of these defensive players that are on the defense, like Hawkins, like Hill, like Hutchinson, and a couple of others. But hey, you look back on it and Don Brown had plenty of really talented Wolverine defenses, and some of them played really, really well, but it still didn't matter enough. They still need the offense to get things done. And so that's another big kind of storyline or narrative with Michigan is they get Harbaugh to come in here. And yeah, Harbaugh has had good defenses before, but this is a guy who you've got to bring in to figure out offense. And he just has not at this point. And I do feel bad a little bit, because when you don't have the quarterback talent to get it done, it's just not going to get done at college football. The rest of the guys just aren't good enough. They're not at pro caliber levels. And so that's the biggest thing that is really on the spotlight for Michigan for me. And you've got reason to believe, you hope that it's a lot different, but how McNamara does with Gattis this year as an offensive coordinator, quarterback combo, that's really going to tell the tale of Michigan, I think.
You know, I think you're right. And you actually echo a lot of the things I said that Joel Klatt said in my conversation with him back at Big Ten Media Days about, you just need competency on the offensive side of the ball. We're starting to get kind of close to our time limit for the day. So I'm going to ask you one more. I feel like it's going to carry us. And I'm going to move away from Michigan, even though in the pre-show I had said, you know, let's just talk Michigan. But I am curious, because like I had mentioned earlier, Michigan hasn't separated itself from the likes of Penn State, Wisconsin. Weirdly, I think going into this season, Michigan's gotten zero benefit of the doubt, right? Come out of 2020, and I think just from a national perspective, like you had said, people look at Michigan and say it's trash. You see Harbaugh and all the hot seat stuff. Everyone says like, oh, 2-4, moving in the wrong direction. And I understand that Michigan lost to both Penn State and Wisconsin last year, but both of those teams had really bad seasons in 2020 as well, and they get the benefit of the doubt for some reason, right? We're talking about, from a national perspective,
sure,
the Badgers and Nittany Lions are considered potential, maybe somewhat on the outside looking in, but potential college football playoff contenders, if not New Year's Six Bowl. I don't want to say locks, but it seems that way based off of every bowl projection piece I see out there in the internet. Why do you think that is when it comes to Penn State and Wisconsin, that they get that benefit of the doubt? And when you look at, what do you expect, I guess, from them going into this season, given that all three had relatively similar years last year?
Yeah, I think it goes back to kind of what your initial point was in our first conversation. And that's that Michigan is going to always be held to a higher standard because over the course of history, they've entrenched themselves in one of the most notable rivalries in sports. And when they fall short to Ohio State standard, which you mentioned there, is almost just an unfair bar. It's even unfair for Ohio State, right? I mean, can you imagine if Ohio State just had back-to-back losing or disappointing big time disappointing seasons, people would lose their mind. And Ohio State can sit here and tell people, hey, we've had 100 years of success. What do you say? Like, we can't have two bad years. And so I think that college football as a whole is just getting really impatient, no matter what team you're in. But I do feel that Michigan is on the steeper end of that, the more scorning end, because they have to every single year. The final game of their season is against Ohio State, and everybody knows that that's the barometer there. And so I think that the reason why Michigan doesn't get that benefit of the doubt like those other Big Ten teams is because they're not supposed to, right? And I think that general America is looking for that final game of the year in the Big Ten, and it does not help Michigan that the rest of the Big Ten has been underwhelming when it comes to some of the other conferences in college football, especially the SEC. I mean, let's be real about it. The SEC's success has ruined it for everyone else. You just cannot have a bad season because of how good the SEC is all around, because they will then go, if you're looking at teams in one conference, like the Big Ten, they'll be like, okay, well, you know, the third team in the SEC is out here playing for a playoff and the third team in the Big Ten's a nobody. And they'll say the same thing for the ACC as well. So the SEC makes it tough. I don't think there's any doubt about it. That goes into the conversation. But when it comes to what I think Penn State and Wisconsin are potentially going to do this year, the biggest storyline to me is going to come out of Wisconsin and what Graham Mertz can do with that offense, because we have long known the Wisconsin Badgers to be the team that's just going to ground and pound you all game long, right? I mean, like, when they've got the great offensive linemen, when they've got the Jonathan Taylors, when they've got the Monty Balls, all those guys, right? I mean, they just win through running the football. But this year, their best weapons or their wide receivers, and their best player might be their quarterback. So we might see a massive narrative flip of Wisconsin as more of a passing team this season. So I have no idea how that's going to go. I think the Graham Mertz is very talented, but that's a very intriguing storyline there. Penn State, the biggest storyline for me is that defensive line. I mean, they're missing, I'll call Micah Parsons a defensive lineman and just say, you know, Micah Parsons, Shaka Toney, Odafe Owe, formerly known as Jason Owe, Yeter Gross Matos. They're losing all of these guys from over the last two seasons. And it's, I feel like, been a calling card of theirs, how good and how talented they've been up front. Now, they've got to replace all of those players. And so I think that that's the big storyline for Penn State. Sean Clifford, Jahan Dotson, right? I mean, like, that offense is going to run through however good Clifford is going to be this season. I don't expect Penn State to be this perennial playoff spot kind of a competing team. But on the other side, I am very intrigued about Wisconsin because of those factors.
Very, very good stuff. I won't hold you any longer. I say that as if you're a hostage type situation. But people don't realize I have a crew outside of his house. I think you're down there in in Charlotte right now?
I'm currently in Charlotte right now, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a lot of people don't realize. Hostage situation down there. Police will get involved eventually. They'll never find me. I'm in a bunker. We'll get more next time we have you. We'll get a little bit more into the nitty-gritty rather than this broad overview of what your thoughts are with Michigan. But I feel like it sets a baseline, right, so that people kind of know. Know that you're legit. You know, we didn't just find you out on the street. But at Tampa Bay Trey is where you can find Trevor. As far as on Twitter, obviously read his stuff over at pff.com. You all know how much of a big proponent I am of Pro Football Focus. Trevor, thank you for joining. If you have anything that you want to plug, please say it here. Otherwise, you know, go on with your day.
Sure. Yeah. We have a college football preview show that we're actually going to be doing, going live every single Friday. So if you guys are into that sort of thing, tune in. You can see myself, Trish, you can see a couple of other analysts that are going to be on the desk as well. It's going to be a big time operation. I'm super looking forward to it. Thank you for having me, Isaiah. I really enjoyed this and can't wait to come on next time, get into more of the details.
Awesome, man. I really appreciate you coming on. So again, Trevor Sikkema, appreciate it. awesome, awesome stuff from Trevor. I felt not to disparage Treish, because I like Treish, but I really liked having Trevor on the show. Really, really fun conversation there, I felt. Even if it was a bit general, we'll get more specific as we get into the season, right? Because right now, like, I just don't want to be very, like, I don't know. You know, like, I want to see some things first. So I liked that conversation. We will continue to get into more of that that stuff with the Pro Football Focus guys before too long. Before we do, y'all know how much I love Built Bar. Built Bar has been a staple. I've gotten back to having two a day whenever, or at a time, rather. I had two last night. That was like my late dinner. You get those hunger pangs late. I love the peanut butter brownie. I mean, I kind of want one right now. That's how it goes. If you don't know what Built Bar is, a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Like I said, I have two at a time. I've bought dozens of boxes on my own. It is the great thing about it is low calorie, low sugar, high protein, low carb, obviously. Everything you want. And I can still have two at a time and it still be less than that leading protein, like meal replacement bar, calorie wise. So don't delay, because again, this is like my favorite thing. I mean, I plugged them even when I wasn't needing to. The other day, yesterday. So go to Built Bar. Sorry, go built.com. You just have to go to built.com. You know, if you're lazy, you don't even have to put in the bar. Built.com, put in promo code LOCK15, get 15% off that next order at built.com. All right, so let's finish up. I don't want to say too much because I want Trevor's, what he had to say, I wanted to stand on its own. Our conversation stand on its own. But I like his point of view and everything, and I agree. Like, Michigan is unfairly judged in the sense of it's, you know, I think that Michigan could go 11-0 into that Ohio State game, but if it loses Ohio State against Ohio State, it's going to be that same thing because, as someone pointed out, it's been. I believe this was on the YouTube channel, or maybe it was on Twitter. I'm not really sure where I saw this, but the perspective is, and yes, the last time one of them did it was Penn State in 2016, but Ohio State hasn't lost a division game since 2016. A division, like, they've lost a couple conference games, right? Purdue, Iowa. They haven't lost in the East Division since 2016. And yeah, they lost in 2015 as well to Michigan State. So, I mean, they were capable of doing that. But I mean, it's been 5 years since they've lost. I mean, four seasons, but it's been a while since they've even lost in the division. And it's been a couple of years since they've lost in the conference. You know, you're like last year. The only team they lost to was the national champions in the national championship game. So, I mean, there is certainly a degree to which it's just unfair to judge Michigan based on Ohio State, but unfortunately, that is the case. You judge Michigan based on Ohio State. So, yeah, it's to me, the unfair thing is not that, right? It's that Penn State and Wisconsin get a pass, right? Because whenever Penn State, and I know we've talked about it a million times, but it still draws my ire. Whenever Penn State loses to Ohio State, it's like, oh, but they're just right there. And I understand the Harbaugh era, Michigan has not kept things close to Ohio State on the field in the sense of the box score, at least not the last 2 years and not his first year. But a lot of those other years, right? Obviously, 16, 17, and then, you know, pretty much the entirety of the Brady Hoke era. And it's Michigan lost the way that Ohio State, that Penn State did. And it's, people weren't, yeah, I don't think people were as much of like, oh, but just look at how Penn State's doing it. So good. Yeah, they lose to Ohio State every time. But I just, when I see it, I just love it. James Franklin, that guy knows how to lose with class. I'd let that guy lose. Okay, I'm done. All right. That's going to do it with that in mind. We'll be back with the mailbag tomorrow. Make sure you check out The Morning Dish. I think it's up on YouTube. It's not up on Wolverine's Wire yet. Let me look. It's processing. It's almost up. It'll be up in like by the time that I get this episode up, it'll be up probably on all platforms. Anyway, check out The Morning Dish on YouTube. Check out all the great stuff at Wolverine's Wire. All kinds of stuff. That's going to do it. Thanks for listening. Talk to you soon. Peace.